Time now for Minnesota Reads here on Northland Morning. And our guest is editor Jay Peterson. The book we're talking about this morning is Sky Blue Water, Great Stories for Young Readers. Hey, Jay, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
This is a fabulous collection of a bunch of wonderful Minnesota authors. I noticed with delight that a number of them have been guests on Minnesota Reads. Margie Preuss, of course, and Julie Schumacher's been a guest, and Mary Casanova's been a guest, maybe a couple of others also. Talk a little bit about the genesis of the idea for the collection and why you decided to target young readers as opposed to everybody who would enjoy this also, by the way.
Sure. So a couple years ago, I guess 3 years ago now, a friend of mine who had compiled a similar anthology of mystery short stories written by Minnesota writers said, you know, we really need to highlight all the great children's writing that's happening in Minnesota. Nobody realizes how many amazing middle grade and young adult writers there are in this state. Those of us who do radio programs or who work in bookstores like I did, we know that, but the general reader really doesn't. So that was sort of the impetus. We said, you know, that we want the state of Minnesota to recognize how great of a young adult and middle grade book culture we have here, and to give them a book that really sort of highlighted some of those great stories and some of those great storytellers.
Do you think that the, and especially I want to ask you as a, not only an editor, but as a bookseller, that when you perhaps label something young adult, you're discouraging, turning off a whole section of readers that would really like it if they just ignored the label?
Right, and I think a lot, some publishers are sort of, they're, you know, dancing around that. They're publishing, they're changing how the cover looks so that it might seem or look more like an adult book. They're kind of trying to sort of cross that threshold a little bit. And certainly, you know, some of the big kind of really best-selling children's books from over the years, obviously Harry Potter had a huge crossover audience where adults were reading that, without shame, I think. And I've heard, you know, I've heard from a lot of adults who mix young adult books into their reading, whether they're parents or not. So I think that that stigma has maybe been erased by, you know, some of the big books like Harry Potter. And I think more and more readers are delving into these books because they can be just as challenging. They can take on difficult subject matter. They don't necessarily have to be simple stories.
They're not at all.
Yeah, sometimes they're really complex, and sometimes they can be fun, but they can also be complex and challenging. So,
well, as a reader, I just want everybody to read everything. That's the, you know, if you're a young adult, I want you to read everything. We always had books at home, of course, but if you didn't have anything you wanted to read, you went to the bookshelf and you grabbed one of Mom or Dad's books and you read those. So just so you don't misunderstand, I want everybody to read everything.
Right.
Another.
I had a great experience last week with a group of middle school students. I traveled to a school with one of the authors, and there was a book club that was reading the book, and these kids had such deep, serious questions about the stories. They really wanted to know how and why the stories came to be, and how and why the characters were chosen, and how and why the characters decided to do what they decided to do. And the way that young people read should inspire older people, regular readers, to read with that same amount of attention and vigor. It was really inspiring.
That's one of the other things that I thought, that I noticed about this book, and I thought, man, it would be so cool if more books for adults included this sort of thing. One of the things that the book includes is a Q&A with students and some of the authors. How did you structure that? How did you make that happen?
Well, I volunteer at Como Park Senior High in St. Paul, and so I had my classroom pitch a series of questions that they would like to ask for authors. And then we, the nonprofit that the book helps support, works with another school, and we sat down with a group of those students and said, what do you want to know about people who write books? Sometimes I think for young people, the idea of they can't really picture the person who's writing their book, you know? They love to read and they love to be around books, but they can't really picture the human being that's making their books. So it was a great exercise for them to think about, well, what would I ask this person if I had an opportunity? What about them do I want to know? And so that created a really fun back and forth. Those questions were really neat, and the responses from the authors were so great.
One of the things that I loved best and thought, gosh, wouldn't it be cool, you know, if you could buy every book with this, is there are some prompts at the back of the book for classroom discussion, of course, but also for creative writing activities. And do you find that many people, that as you talk to people, many people get the idea that, I don't know if I could write a novel, but I could maybe write a short story?
I think there was a survey a couple of years ago, and something like 80% of people surveyed said, oh yeah, I could write a book, which is odd because 80% of people wouldn't say that they could perform heart surgery or, run a crane. It's difficult work. So I think sometimes when you stop and think about the genesis of a story and what it will take to sort of carry something all the way through, it is pretty foreboding. I think some people think it's easy. They have an idea, oh, I could have this character and they could do such and such. But I like prompts as a process to get people, I think people often, when they're writing, overthink, and they try to come up with the ending before they've even got anything on paper. So writing prompts and writing constraints help writers, young and old, get something started, get some ideas down on paper, get a paragraph, develop a character, develop a space, develop a setting. And I think the students that I've seen play with these prompts have had some really great stuff come of it, so it's been fun.
Well, it's, and of course, I've learned that writing a short story is in many ways harder than writing a novel because you do need to be very focused and there's a lot of discipline and honing that needs to go on. But the idea that there would be prompts to take a reader into that next step, ignoring, you know, for the fact that they might think they could write a book. But I mean, if they're excited about writing, especially as a young person, or if they're excited about trying to write, there are, again, the prompts there to kind of get you started and kind of get your feet wet. And maybe somebody might try it who might not have tried it before. And it, that feeling when you were a kid where you got to spend time during the day writing stories or writing or making art and being creative, we don't have a lot of that time anymore.
Mm-mm. And I think in that short amount of time, you know, it's foreboding to think that, all right, I'm going to come up with this entirely new landscape and I'm going to create these characters from scratch. And that's a really difficult thing to do. But with some prompts and with some guidance that the teacher or a parent kind of nudging you along as they would in any other activity, you can flesh things out. The Mid-Continent Oceanographic Institute, which is a nonprofit here in St. Paul that kind of specializes in getting young kids writing, does that. They take classrooms and really guide them through the story process. We try to make it as fun and weird as possible. And the characters and the stories that kids come up with a little bit of prompting and with a little bit of help from their friends, are so weird and crazy and cool.
Well, kids certainly never or very rarely suffer from a lack of imagination. We may grow up differently, but as a kid, we usually don't suffer from lack of imagination. Jay, thank you so much for joining us this morning. What fun. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Jay Peterson is the editor or the co-editor of a marvelous book, the co-editor along with Colette Morgan, of a marvelous book called Sky Blue Water, Great Stories for Young Readers. And he was our guest this morning on Minnesota Reads. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.